Blog Talk Radio.
May there be peace and love and perfection throughout all creation, O God. May there be peace and love and perfection throughout all creation, O God. May there be peace and love and perfection throughout all creation, O God.
African Aramean Scriptures. Tonight's presentation is on God and Devil. Well, the terms, while they are antagonists, but they're terms that we need to understand. We don't particularly talk about Hebrew term for God or devil, what it means, signifies, and so how we are to properly recognize the characteristics when they are manifested in our world. So we will explore these concepts at great length on this broadcast. And we'll be right back. All right. Well, we'll begin with the our exposition on the subject of God and devil with God, appropriately. Well, in the Hebrew and Aramaic text of the Bible, the term God is referred to entities that are given devotion, honor, even human beings, are sometimes called gods, a god or gods. The term is spelled in Hebrew and Aramaic as Lamed. And the Aleph, the pictograph, or the symbol of the head of an ox, which represents its strength primarily, and number secondary. For instance, the word Aleph, spelled Aleph Lamed Pei, means 1,000, and which also is the name of the letter Aleph, and it signifies strength. So it's, you know, numerous strength, or will have their strength in numbers. That's the way you look at that character, that pictogram. Letter Lamed is a pictogram of this shepherd's staff or shepherd's rod. And that is an ancient symbol of authority. You see pictures of pharaohs carrying a shepherd's rod or shepherd's staff. Well, people talk about how the ancient Egyptians hated shepherds because they were invaded by the Hyksos people and taken over and during the 17th dynasty. Well, they still carried the shepherd's staff as a symbol of authority without respect for that historical memory that they maintain. But the staff is an ancient universal symbol of authority. The Pope carries a shepherd's staff. That is a symbol of authority in a man. You combine the two pictograms in order from right to left. Aleph means the strong of, and in the turn, the two pictograms and from right to left means the strong authority. That strong authority can be anyone or thing that has the power to impose upon another or group. So we look at this and we understand that this strong authority, and you pluralize it, you see in the Hebrew text it says Elohim, Aleph Lamed Hey, Aleph Lamed Hey. Now Aleph Lamed Hey is Al-Ha. In Arabic they say Allah, but Al-Ha is the singular form of, or a singular feminine form for the term Allah, for God. Now, to make it plural, you add the masculine plural suffix yod mem, and you get Elohim. Elohim, and that's gods. In English, you could say G-O-D-S, gods. Now, everywhere in the Hebrew Bible where you see Elohim, and they're talking about deities of other nations, they translate it as gods without reservation, each and every time. When you see Elohim with respect to the Israelites, or any particular personality, Abraham, Isaac, it says Elohim or Yaakov, they'll translate that as God of Jacob, God of Abraham, but it still says it's still plural. So we know that it's plural. Now they have various rationalizations as to why they're going to translate it as singular God, and you can accept that, any one of those explanations that they give you. But I'm just here to expound on the terms, what they signify. Now, we can go further. We can say the two pictograms also represent the ox in the yoke. So, because the Lamed had been understood at a particular time to be the staff on the shoulder, so that rod on the shoulders of a person, in order to harness the power for pulling loads, whatnot. So, big reason why they have various other dimensions of husbandry that would explain why they would use that in such a way. Now, to just go into different English words that are translated from this pictogram, this word al. Some people say al. That's what the rabbis say. They teach that the aleph is silent, and so they put a low vowel sound e. The vowel points, they call it nikud, on the aleph, so it'll be pronounced al, but it's al. And they translate it as power. In some case, well, I'm translating as power, and the lexicographer, whose book I regularly refer to, has a noun form of this term al, that he translates as power. And it's one who wields authority over others, such as judges, chiefs, kings. They reign as gods because they have the strong authority to rule over, and especially they have the power of life and death to enrich you, and they can impoverish you. So the term God is applied to them because they have their power, the means, the ability to impose. Now, the term Aleph Lamed Hey, which is the feminine form of Aleph Lamed, is often translated as oath. It's a binding agreement, including the curse for violating the oath. It's also translated as oak, as an oak wood tree, Aleph Lamed Hey. And so, we look at you make an oath with the deity whom you serve. In order to worship, you do not to give that devotion. In return, is expected some blessings. And for failure to fulfill those obligations, curses follow. And as a matter of fact, there is a form of this word, Tau Aleph Lamed Hey, that is translated as curse. See? So, while we know specifically how the term is to properly be applied to the true deity, the true God, and the human beings that wield power, the entities from other nations, the special reason why in the Hebrew Bible they talk about, it'll say, the gods we worship are no gods at all. That's because while they exercise authority over human beings through human agents, they are not authentic powers. They're basically what the Creator is saying is that those people who are those powers, these spirits, they're hypocrites. They're actors. They are charlatans. They're spirits that are getting devotion from people, and they're exercising power over people, life and death, and they're not the real thing. Which leads us into the term devil, which we will cover after this short break. come back. The term devil. The term devil is in Greek Strong's number 1225, and it's diabolos. Yeah, it's a diabolos is a compound word, dia and balos. Dia is a slanderer and balos is accuser. So the devil is a false witness, false accuser. And in Aramaic, the term is akel karza. So he is a devourer and slanderer. That's what akel means, to eat or devour, and karza is slander. And it appears most in the Aramaic text, the Peshitta, which means the literal text of the Bible. And in Hebrew, in the Old Testament, you see the term Belial. And it is translated primarily as ungodly, wicked, and worthless. And it'll say, use the children of the devil, children of wickedness, for Belial. And that's when you see that reference, they're talking about the children of the devil. Now, the devil personified, you can see him, and you can see the character described most vividly in the book of Job as one who's challenging the Most High on the righteousness of a particular sage named Job. In English, they call him Job. And he wants to afflict this man, Job, with various misfortunes in order to prove to God that this man is only serving him because of his blessings. He's accusing this man of not being as faithful to his creator as he apparently is, based upon his works of service and past service. So you see in the book of, I think it's Ezra, Nehemiah, whatever, where there's a high priest, Joshua is being accused of Zechariah. I know the book. It's the book of Zechariah. But a high priest is being accused of being by the devil of being unrighteous. This devil is what he does to the life of the faithful ones. Right? He may appear to be gods to the nations and the other entities, but to us, to those who worship the true creator gods, he functions as primarily an accuser, a slanderer. He speaks falsehood against our righteousness, but not the righteousness that we have in our Mashiach, and claims that we are not worthy to receive that imputed righteousness, and that we should be, and he tries to get us cast, our names erased from the book of life. So that's why we particularly refer to the devil as a slanderer, a false accuser. And there are other terms, the serpent, the Nahash, or the Nahash Kadem. And that's a phrase meaning the ancient serpent. That ancient serpent is also the devil. Refers to, it's in memorial to the first created being that the Satans had possessed. And Satans means also opponent, and that's spelled Samik Thet Nun Safit. So you can pronounce it really Satan. And this Satan is the opponent. He's the person. He's the group of entities who oppose the Creator. They want to take the creation away. They want to destroy all life, and they want to accuse all the righteous of being the set apart ones, basically, of being unrighteous and unfaithful through the Torah. And it's up to us to live righteously, to focus on guarding the commandments that were given to us by our creators and basically breaking the power of the accuser over the earth and making all of his accusations foolish. Because when we sin, we give credibility to his claim of our unrighteousness, or our basically not unrighteousness, mainly unfaithfulness. Because the righteousness that we have is based upon our faith, our belief in the promise of the gods that he would save the earth, that he would use us as instruments of salvation and restoration. And if we do not believe that, that is, if we do not have faith in that, then we are guilty. We have been unrighteous because we will behave in a way that is not commensurate of one who believes in the hope of the promise. Basically, the devil is what he does or they do is accuse human being of unbelief in the hope of the promise and behaving in a way that is unfaithful or unhopeful, one that is not looking forward to that restoration, because he's accusing us human beings who are servants of Yahweh of being liars, saying that we believe in the hope of the promise and behaving the opposite. So we behave that in the opposite, then we are making the lying devil his accusations truthful. We add credibility to that when we live in contradictory to the word of God, and so the Satans, the Akel Kartzah, the Diablos, is not standing in opposition or an accusatory stance to those who are wicked, because he's not arguing that they're not faithful, because they aren't. Who follow the Torah see this function clearly, because we are studying and we are functioning according to the hope of the promise. And that is what we should be doing, is having faith in the words and the promise that the Most High has given through the prophets, the seers, and the atoning work that is the covering work of his Messiah that he has brought forth into this world and to redeem all mankind. And that is conclusion of this broadcast. And Shavua told.